our hands all across the house. We love you, Jesus. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. And how many are thankful to know the name above every name, the name of Jesus? Sickness has to flee at the name of Jesus. Storms have to cease at the name of Jesus. Broken lives come together when we call on the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. I don't want to spend too much time here. If you have your Bibles with you, let's go to the book of 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41 through 44. Give honor to Brother Bradford. Give honor to this church. Also glad to have Revival Center, a few of them tonight with us. Some of the home chickens here with us tonight. You know you're a startup pastor when you looked at these chairs and you wondered what the chances are of you borrowing a few for this Sunday. Let me know what's going to happen with those chairs when you don't need them, okay? All right, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. Amen. And tonight I want to preach on this title, put a yet on it. Put a yet on it. Right now, let's put our Bibles down. Let's lift our hands and let's ask God to help us for the remainder of this service. God, I pray, Lord, that you would anoint me as your messenger. God, I pray you would touch the hearts and the minds of everyone here tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that you would transform, that you would move, that you would heal, that you would restore. God, you know what needs to happen in this place. We trust you for it now, God. You're exceedingly abundantly able to do above all that we can ask or think. You're a great God, and we worship you tonight, Jesus. Have your way in this place, God. God bless you. You may be seated. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Tonight we all have things that we need Jesus to do in our lives. Some of us may need Jesus to do a work in our families. Some of us may need Jesus to do a work in our marriage. Some of us may need Jesus to heal us in our bodies. Some of us may need Jesus to heal wounds and scars from the past. Some of us may need Jesus to bring peace into the current time of chaos. Some of us may need Jesus to provide for a financial need. Some of us may need Jesus to restore broken relationships. But you know what I'm finding is although many times we come before God with a need that we think demands an immediate answer, that many times what God does is he puts us in the middle of a process called waiting. Sometimes God can heal immediately, but sometimes healing is a process. Sometimes you can break free from addiction immediately, but sometimes there's a process. Sometimes you get the Holy Ghost immediately, but sometimes there's a process. I want to preach to somebody tonight. Don't give up in the middle of the process. It was in the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 1. It says, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. A famine is a time where resources are very scarce, and it could be caused by different things, maybe disease, maybe a drought, but there's a shortage in the land. And in the middle of that shortage, a certain man of Bethlehem went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of this man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion. They came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Things got bad. And instead of trusting in God, they left where they were supposed to be to go to Moab. But you know what? God never told them to go to Moab. God commanded his people to trust in him. This man Elimelech thought the grass was greener on the other side of the process. He thought that things would be better if I leave where I'm at. And in patience, he leaves and he goes to Moab. That word sojourn means that he was only planning on going there for a short time. Let's go there for a while and we'll come back when things get better. But as the story unfolds, the family never makes it back to Judah. Let me tell you, we need to be careful with everything we do because we don't know what's on the other side of that decision. Not only that, but to take this trip, they had to go around Jericho. They had to go through the wilderness. They had to cross back over the sea. In other words, they were going backwards from what God had done in the lives of his people. Let me tell you this, don't ever go back to the things that God has delivered you from because you're impatient in the middle of your process. I'm telling you, you may not have an answer, but alcohol still doesn't work. You may not have freedom. You may not feel the peace yet, but drugs are not your answer. You need to wait on God. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Trust God in the middle of a process. Don't go back to something that God's delivered you from. Don't go back to somebody that God rescued you from. Don't go back to something that you had to pray your way out of. God has delivered you. You need to keep that deliverance going. I'm not leaving church because I'm frustrated. I'm staying here until I get my attitude right. I'm not going to leave because I'm not being used. I'm going to get my attitude right so that I can be used. Come on, somebody, trust God for the process. Moab was never God's will for this family, but because of impatience in a dry season, they pack their bags and leave where God planned for them to stay. And in the book of Ruth chapter 2, they show back up after losing everything. And the Bible says there's a man named Boaz that was a great man of great wealth. You know something about Boaz? Boaz didn't pack his bags and leave when times got tough, and God blessed him for it. He stayed right where he was supposed to be, and God kept him. God sustained him. Stay in the church. Stay in the house of God. Stay prayed up. Stay full of the Holy Ghost. God has what you need. Don't turn your back on the will of God. Something else, God doesn't mature us by changing everything and moving us from place to place. God matures us by planting us in one place and working on us and developing us from there. God doesn't want to send us to a new place, but God wants to give us a new heart. Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Let me tell you this, you may think, well, I'll start over somewhere else. I'll start over at a new job. I'll start over with a new family. I'll start over in a new city. But you know what the problem is? When you get there, you're still going to have to deal with you. When you listen to your fears and you let fear drive you somewhere, the problems follow you. When you go somewhere because you're afraid, the problems don't go away. It's going to be a new place, but it's going to be the same problems. You're not a good worker where you're at. You're lazy and you show up late. You're going to do it at the next place. You've got to say, how can I be on time where I'm at? How can I be a great employee where I'm at? How can I make it happen where I'm at? I'm not jumping from place to place, but I'm going to stay in this church. I'm not looking for another church. I'm not looking for another message. I'm not looking for another pastor, but I'm committed. I'm committed. I'm committed because when you commit, God can cultivate. When you commit, God can grow you in your ministry. Don't leave in the middle of a dry season. And commit to the ground and say, I'm going to stay right here. God doesn't want to send you to a new place. God wants to give you a new heart. You don't need a new church. You need a new prayer life. Come on, somebody. God bless you. You may be seated. Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. God, give me a new heart. God, don't let me grow a bitterness within my spirit. Don't let me grow a frustration, because if I'm frustrated here, I'll be frustrated there. If I'm bitter here, I'll be bitter there. If I'm hateful here, I'll be hateful there. If I'm a liar here, I'll be a liar there. If I'm lazy here, I'll be lazy there, because the problem is not the surroundings. The problem is what is within me. I've got to change myself. the prodigal son left and he said, Father, give me, thinking that the solution to his problem would be to receive something. But when he lost it all, he came back and said, Father, make me. I thought it was something that could be given, but I realized it's something I need to become. I need to become the man of God to lead my household. I need to become the woman of God to lead my children. I need to become the Sunday school teacher that God wants me to be. I need to become the prayer warrior that God wants me to be. Nobody can give you that. You can't give somebody faithfulness. You've got to get it for yourself. Don't give up in the middle of the process. You want to be used of God. You want to do great things in the ministry. You want to do great things in the kingdom of God. Stay where you're at. Commit to what you're doing and be the best that you can be. Look around for things that are not being done and pick up a burden. Do something, not for the limelight, but because you want to be a servant of God. Trust God in the middle of the process. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. I'm not going to read the whole thing again, but it is when Elijah has already went through 3.5 years of no rain, a dry season, just like Elimelech went through, just like Boaz went through. It was a dry season. For the last 3 years before this, there had not been any rain. There had not even been dew on the ground. It was a severe drought. Talking about a dry situation. Have you ever gone through a dry season? Have you ever been through a season where you feel like there's no more hope? Have you ever been through a season where you don't feel any joy? Have you ever been through a season where you don't feel any peace, but you feel dried out? You feel hopeless. You feel like things are impossible. For 3 years, there had not been any rain. Rivers and lakes were down, and some may have even dried up completely. Crops were failing, and livestock were starving. Businesses closing, people losing jobs. But the prophet Elijah climbs to the top of a mountain, and he says, get up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. But before he ever sees the rain, he begins to pray. And before he begins to pray, he tells his servant to go and see if he can catch a little glimpse of a sign of the rain coming. And this servant comes back to Elijah the first time, and he says, I don't see anything. He says, you need to turn around, and you need to go back and check again. He comes back a second time, and he tells him, you need to turn around, and you need to go back and check again. 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times, he goes back, and guess what? Nothing is coming. But he tells him to go back again the 7th time. And on the 7th time, he didn't see much. He says, all I saw was a cloud the size of a man's hand. And Elijah says, get ready and tell Ahab to get down, that the rain stop thee not. It may be just a little sign, but I believe that the mercy and the grace and the power and the provision and the glory of God is coming. I believe that the rain is coming, and there not be much of it, but there's a little sign of it. Oh, I may not be healed yet, but there's a little sign of it. I may not have what I want in God, but there's a little sign of it. My marriage may not be getting better, but there's a little sign of it. Come on, the doctor's report doesn't seem very hopeful, but there's a little sign that God is still working and God is still in control. I want to preach to somebody right now. We need to put a yet on our situation. You don't need to say, I'm not healed. Start saying, I'm not healed yet. You say, I don't have the Holy Ghost. No. I don't have the Holy Ghost yet. Oh, my child's not getting back into church to live for God. No. They haven't come back yet. That's the kind of faith I have, because God is still in control and God is still working behind the scenes. Put a yet on it. Put a yet on it. I don't have peace. I don't have peace yet. I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer yet. There's no hope. There's no hope yet. I can't find a job. I can't find a job yet. I'm broke. God is on the way with a blessing. If you'll put a yet on it. As I come to the music, let's all stand. Come on, church, let's lift our hands and worship God. Put a yet on it. My ministry's not opening up. Your ministry's not opening up yet. God hasn't done anything for me. God hasn't done anything for you yet. I'm still expecting God to do something more. I have not given up on faith. I'm still trusting in God. Elijah hears this. He says, get ready, the rain is coming. All he saw was a little cloud, but he started making plans like it was about to happen. And as he headed out from that mountain, the cloud started forming. Everything opened up and the rain started coming down, and the 3.5 year drought was over. I want to preach to somebody. You're stuck in the middle of a dry season. You're in the middle of a depressed season. You're full of anxiety and fear, suicidal thoughts. You're going through it, and you feel like there's no hope for you. Can you believe tonight that it's coming? Can you believe tonight that your story's not over yet? Can you believe tonight that God has greater things ahead for you? I want to tell somebody the days ahead will be better than the days behind if you hold on to the hand of God. The future will be better than the past if you hold on to the hand of God. In the late 1830s, Charles Finney was pastoring First Congregational Church in Oberlin, Ohio, one of the largest congregations in the area in that time. One summer, his church was in a severe drought, the great hardship for them in their farming community. They basically depended on crops to feed livestock and survive. It was after spending several days in prayer that Pastor Finney woke up one morning and started praying that it would rain. He decided that he would pray and fast and believe God that it was going to rain. But when he got to church, he went up to the podium. He opened the service and then paused and prayed and said, "Lord, we come before you now for rain. Our crops are dying and we cannot feed our cattle. So we ask you, Lord, for rain, and we ask for it now." He continued the service as usual. Halfway through the sermon, worshipers began to hear faint thunder on the horizon. By the time their pastor finished preaching, drops were falling heavily on the church roof. Before long, the sanctuary was filled with the sound of rain crashing down upon the rooftop. The congregation was filled with wonder and praise as their pastor began singing a song of thanksgiving. Brother CJ, if you had come. But folks who were there say the most amazing part of that day was that at the very front of the sanctuary, leaning against the pulpit, was their pastor's umbrella. One person said, "It's one thing to start praying for rain, but it's another thing to show up with an umbrella." An umbrella says, "God, I'm not just praying for rain, but I'm preparing for rain. I'm not just praying for my healing, but I'm preparing for my healing. I'm not just praying for the blessing, but I'm believing and I'm preparing for the blessing." Is there somebody in this place you've been praying for a long time in the middle of a dry season? Is there somebody here that's so desperate for God to do something in your life that you can't sleep at night and you're wondering where's the answer coming from? We've got to start preparing for the rain. We've got to start preparing for the healing. Start preparing for what God is going to do. Prodigals coming back to the Lord. Cancer being healed. Financial blessings being poured out. Divorces being canceled. Do you believe tonight in the power of God? But it's one thing to pray about it. It's another thing to act like it's already coming. It's coming, somebody. Your answer to your prayer is coming. Your healing is coming. Deliverance is coming. Peace is coming. The love and mercy is coming. The grace of God is coming. A second chance is coming. A new beginning is coming. Revival is coming. But are you prepared for it? I wonder right now if there's somebody desperate enough that would come up to the front and grab this umbrella and say, "God, I'm ready." Is there anybody with enough faith right now to say, "God, I'm ready. God, I'm ready." These two sisters are about to fight over it. They're so desperate. Come on, share. After you take it, share it. But do you believe it, that God is going to do something in your life? Start preparing for it. Instead of me just coming with prayer requests, I'm going to start coming with a praise report. I'm going to start praising God in advance for what he's doing already. Thank you for healing my body. Thank you for restoring my family. Put a yet on it tonight. It's not that you don't see it. It's that you don't see it yet. Come on, somebody, believe for it tonight. God is working in your situation. Come on, let's scoot up as much as we can towards the front of this church. Start praising God for the miracle. Start praising God for the breakthrough. Start praising God for the healing. Start praising God for the new job. Start praising God for the new career. Start praising God for the house that you're about to buy that you don't even have a down payment for. God's going to make a way. Come on, start praising God. God is in control. God is working. Start praising him in advance. God, I'm not giving up in the middle of the process. I'm not giving up in the middle of the dry season. God, I'm holding on to my faith. I'm holding on to my hope. I'm holding on to the God that answers prayers. Come on. Dealing with cancer, dealing with chemotherapy. Start
start praising God like you've already been healed. Start worshiping God like he's already done it. Come on, somebody, there's nothing too hard for God. You need to reach out and begin praising him in advance. He's working in a broken marriage. He's working in a body full of disease. God is working on somebody that's seeking the Holy Ghost. It's not that you don't have the Holy Ghost. You just don't have it yet. Come on, somebody, reach for God tonight. Reach for God with all of your heart. God is doing it. God is moving. Come on, go, go, go. Reach for God tonight. There's healing in this house. There's deliverance in this house. You don't have to leave the way you came. God is working right now. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm praying for healing for our children, young children that are facing sicknesses and disease. I pray that God would open up the heavens and begin to heal our children that are dealing with medical issues. Oh, come on, somebody. I pray right now that God would begin to heal someone with mental illness. Oh, come on, depression, anxiety, and fear. God wants to heal you on your mind. God wants to heal you in your spirit. God wants to heal your broken heart. Come on, God is doing it. Believe it, believe it.